Hi, I'm Philip Hong, and the Friday edition of The Best of Hubble and Fred starts now, powered by FYI Music News, The Chambers Plan, Spearhead Brewing Company, The Retirement Sherpa, Strain Print, Gig Sky, and Cannabis Career Network. Today, we've got some interviews and we've got some clips from the week, but first, we're going to start with a very fun and chocked full of interview. Here's the great Courtney Gilmore, comedian extraordinaire.
Please welcome to our program, we mentioned off the top that this was going to be a unique comedy experience. But before we get to that, let's just say that in 2017, she delivered a breakout performance, that's what it says here, at Just for Laughs in Montreal, winning the Homegrown Comics Competition. Also filmed a set for Kevin Hart's new LOL Network. One of the participants in JFL 42 in Toronto, and is set to return to Just for Laughs in 2018. She has opened for some very big comedians and has made a bunch of very fine appearances. But she's here to get a new leg. Courtney Gilmore.
Hello.
I need that microphone a little closer.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
I think the first time and only time we worked together at Yuck Yucks. I think it was Yuck Yucks.
Probably.
It might have been the corner. I don't know.
Yeah.
Courtney is, and I was kind of talking to Courtney, and I noticed, as you do, that you have no arms. Or
you did notice it. Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't. You know, you don't know what to say.
Yeah. Sure.
You're like, hey.
I imagine you don't know what to say.
Well, no one, and that's what I wanted to start, because I just mentioned to you what when you walked in. I said one of the things I found funniest about you that night is just all the stuff that, you know, all the real authentic stuff about not. People just don't know what to say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people don't know what to say, or if they should say anything. Usually they shouldn't. If it's like a complete stranger, that's sort of weird to just drop it and say something right up front. Like a couple weeks ago, a guy was walking his dog and asked me what happened to me just as he was like scooping his dog's poop.
And I'm
he asked like what happened. He's like, what happened to you? Like, can I ask what happened to you? And I'm like, I don't know you. You're just a stranger. your dog.
Maybe you can describe.
I mean, that was his opening line. What happened to you?
It wasn't like,
oh, what's your dog's name? Or
no, it wasn't even my dog. It was his dog. He was walking his dog and he was walking beside me and he was like, hey, I don't mean to bother you, but I just want to know what happened to you. And I was like, that's not a great conversation opener.
But we should describe for people who are listening, and I don't know if we were, like, we described it clumsily off the top of the show. I said to Fred, I said, Courtney's really funny, and she has no arms and only one leg.
That's right.
But what is, so give us the background. What exactly is
My sitch is I'm a congenital amputee, which means I was born this way. So I'm born missing. My right arm ends at like my wrist area, and then I have my left arm ends at the elbow, and then I'm missing half of my right leg. So I have like a full kneecap.
So how old were you when you, do you remember the first memory of you going, oh, I'm, this isn't the way that everyone is?
I don't know if I can specifically narrow down a first memory other than I just remember going to grade school, like going to school and having other kids ask me about it. I'm sure that was my first awareness of it. Other than that, my parents didn't really have a sit down. I mean, they prepared me for the fact that questions were going to come, but they didn't really overemphasize me being that different. They were just like, well, this is the way you are. We didn't know you were going to be this way. This is the way you are. This is how we are going to live life. And if people ask, just say that you were born that way. So that's...
Was there any explanation why you were born that way?
There were like a few theories of... Mm. And my parents lived in Sarnia, Ontario at the time.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
There we go.
It's Sarnia.
So that's it. That was Sarnia. There was the medical conditions born in Sarnia,
Courtney,
obviously.
We have some bad news. Your parents were from Sarnia.
So
it's called Sarnia Syndrome.
So, yeah, exactly.
What was it, though?
Well, they did attribute it to environmental pollution in Sarnia at the time. They didn't really, like, 100% confirm it, but it was sort of just deduce, like, it just by, you know, examining the environment at the time and the fact that my mom passed through Chemical Valley every day on her way to work, and there were a lot of there was a lot of industrial pollution in the air, and a lot of babies were being born, especially that year, with tremendous birth defects. I actually have two friends who were born the same year as me in that same hospital, both amputees.
And that can't be a coincidence.
No, right. I don't believe so. No, there's been tons of research into it, but it gets kind of murky because there's a lot of division in opinion in that city because it's,
of course,
you know, there's, you know, petrol industry and people work for them, and they're like, well, this is a good thing that we have all this stuff floating in the air, and other people are like, but we're dying though.
Plus, they just like
there's cancer there
they
too,
like to
so.
Deny and move backwards,
Well, and that's it's funny. Again, I keep talking about this documentary series called Dirty Money on Netflix,
right?
And one of the first ones was about Volkswagen, and they had this huge worldwide recall, and they were sanctioned and fined. And part of the reason is governments don't want to put them out of business because they're so good for their local economies. Meanwhile, chemicals are being, you know, pumped into the atmosphere that are causing something.
Exactly. And not even just, I mean, I lucked out. Like, this is the way that I am. I'm an amputee, and that's fine because I've adjusted to it, and I can live my life completely normally. But, it, like, that kind of chemical pollution causes cancer and people dying and lung problems and breathing and asthma. Like, so many conditions. There's so much research behind it. And, it's very interesting.
So... You have a childhood. You're very able. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have so many questions. Do you like handy?
Hey, I'm here for them.
Do you have a handy? Because you brought this up the other day that we're no longer supposed to call people
handicapped.
They're handy. What is?
Okay,
that?
So here's the thing. There's so many within the disability community, there are going to be so many wavering opinions on what's the right word to use, and we're not all going to agree. And this is the first time I've actually heard that. I heard someone say that handicapped is a slur, which to me is a bit extreme, but I would say maybe it's obsolete, like a little bit more dated. I wouldn't be like personally offended.
So what is the term?
I don't know, disabled, I guess. But even that, disabled, it's not so much that it's offensive to me. It just doesn't seem accurate. You know, just because I'm a grown woman, I live by myself, I do everything by myself, disabled, to me being
disabled. You're able.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like if someone called you disabled and you're like, what are you talking about?
Well, they
like,
do.
Yeah.
At what point in your life, and I don't know your stand-up history, but so you're somewhere in your, you know, you come online, you're in your teens, you're always funny. Mm-hmm. Did you make fun of yourself to make others feel, was that the instinct to make others less self-conscious?
Yeah, absolutely. I think any significant difference in anyone is going to prompt them to use that as part of their humor. Although I will make this distinction, though, just because funny things naturally happen more to people with disabilities or people with unique, you know, differences, but that doesn't make you funny. Like, I think there's a difference between people who have funny things happen to them and people who are able to storytell and to make jokes out of those things. Those are two different things. But yeah, it definitely shaped my sense of humor. My family is really funny. I come from a really funny family, and we always made jokes. That's how I was raised.
Did they make did your parents and
siblings? They made jokes, not at my expense though. Like, it was always from the vibe of like, well, this is life now, so we might as well make light of it. It was never malicious, or it was never making me the butt of the joke. It was just like, yeah, this is the way things are. Might as well make a joke type situation.
In some ways, now in a professional standpoint, don't you actually even have to be funnier? Because when you first, you know, when you first come out, our people might be a little preoccupied. So isn't the pressure on to even be a step above?
Absolutely. And you have to be, because it's very easy to be hacky about it. It's very easy to just go for like the low hanging fruit. There's always jokes that other comedians try to give me, which are great, but it's like, I need to be thinking of the joke that's not the first thing that you think about.
Yeah,
I need to be doing the sixth or seventh idea so that I can have something original and not the first thing that you think of.
But as a comedian, it's like, part of what you do, most people don't even realize that, it's you first walk on stage, and before you tell jokes, you've got to make a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have anything different about you, even in my weird little situation, I walk on stage and every club is the oldest person on the show that night.
Right.
And if I say nothing about it, you know, sometimes I do or I don't, mm-hmm. but mostly I just say something to put everyone at ease. Yes, I know I'm the same age as your parents. Mm-hmm. But you almost are, it's incumbent on you to walk out and say, yes, I know I'm this.
Right. Exactly.
So what is that sort of opening, whatever that is?
I mean, I change it up as much as I can, you know, like, just to see where the comfort level is at. I mean, a lot of times I'm like, I know you guys can tell just by the sound of my voice that I don't have hands, that kind of thing. Like, just something to kind of deflect, you know, because they know that I'm going to say something. Sometimes I'm tempted to not, just because, I don't know, I've talked about this a lot with my friends, like, how difficult would it be for me to go up, like, at what point in my career can I go up and just do a set and not mention it? Probably years from now, but, you know, that would be ideal for me, not because I don't like talking about it, I just want the option of just being like, or sometimes, at the top of my set, just mention, you know how comedians, like, we mention something that just happened in the room or something, or, like,
yeah.
something that's on the news, like, that everyone is also thinking about. You want to be able to have the freedom to just, like, have a few comments.
Couldn't you experiment?
Yeah, oh, totally, and I do, yeah, absolutely,
yeah, you should
for
just
sure.
try coming Some out of my, not
yeah,
mentioning.
For
yeah.
sure,
Well,
yeah.
you're, I mean, I have a sense of where you are in your career. I read your, you know, when we introduced you, you've got, you're very accomplished. You know, arms or no, you're very accomplished. And you're at that point now, I certainly think, in the city of Toronto, from what I've gleaned, that people are coming out to see you because they've heard you're funny.
Right.
Or they've seen you.
Yeah.
They know you have this.
For sure. They're starting to know me a little bit more. Yeah, for sure.
This is Humble and Fred.
We've got more with the talented up-and-comer Courtney Gilmore coming up on The Best of Humble and Fred. I'm Philip Hong. Thank you so much for listening on air and online to The Best of Humble and Fred. First, a couple of very important announcements.
Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one plan for employee benefits. Canada's leading group benefit plan for smaller firms, say 1 to 100 employees. If you're interested in looking after your employees, go to chamberplan.ca and get a free quote. 30,000 Canadian businesses now part of this. They've been around for 40 years. Health and dental insurance and all sorts of other products. Look into it for your company. Chamberplan.ca.
This is Humble and Fred.
Courtney Gilmore. So what was that first open mic night like? Because most people, it's horrific for them anyway. So you walk up and...
Like the first time ever doing stand-up. I mean, I lucked out in that my first time ever doing stand-up was actually a fundraiser that I had organized myself at my university. And so it was actually a pretty good cushion the first time. Like, I had family and friends coming to see me. It was more of an organized, it wasn't like a dirty basement open mic this time. It was just
it
like.
It wasn't like a dirty basement open
it
mic?
It wasn't a dirty basement. That was the second time.
I love those.
Was, they're great. They're great. Oh, but that was. But I was lucky enough that my first time was actually like pretty cushy. It was like a planned, organized event, and I did comedy for the first time, and it actually went really well. Not like I was a genius or had anything really funny to say. I just felt better about it than I didn't like, you know, want to die. Then that was the second time.
Yeah, I was gonna say, most people's experiences that the first couple of times are usually pretty good, and then. Then we all have that one or two times where you just eat it.
You just eat it, totally.
And most people who are normal never go back and do it again.
Yeah.
And then there's the rest of us that go, it felt pretty bad, but I like the laughter. I mean, I have to burn these clothes.
This is what I deserve. Yeah, this is what I've been seeking out.
People don't realize that when you bomb on stage, the idea of dying is, the reason it was, they call it that is because it smells, your body secretes a death stink, and you have to burn the clothes you were wearing.
Oh my God.
You don't know about the death stink? Well,
no,
of course you probably
I didn't
don't.
Know about the death stink of comedy, you mean? When you feel that way? Yeah, oh, I've definitely felt that way, for sure.
So now that you've talked about organizing, one of the reasons, I mean, I knew about you, but I said to Amanda, our producer, I said, we should get Courtney on because she's trying to get a new leg.
Yeah.
So when you walk out, do people know, they can see, obviously, that you're without hands. But yeah. Do they know you're without a leg?
No. No, I've only recently started making jokes about that because I have been talking about the leg that I want to buy for myself. So that's led to me writing jokes about my leg. But no, I think most people don't know. It's not like, it's not super obvious, but it also, you can tell if you see me walk for a bit or like go up and down stairs or something. I'm wearing a very minimalist, very basic prosthetic leg right now. So there's a bit of a bump at the top. So you can kind of see through. People might know, but no, I don't think they know that part.
And it's you're so used to it now. And I again, excuse my stupid question. Is it sore? Is it painful? Is it aggravating?
It's not sore. It's just because I use a prosthetic leg. The ones that I've been using recently are poor quality, I would say. It's what they call, it's a mechanical knee. It's almost like car parts being put together to make a leg, and then they cover it with like a cosmetic covering to make it sort of look real.
Right.
But it can cause pain just from walking too much, too long. But it's not constantly in pain. It's just not a very good leg for walking. It's
so awkward. You have the basic prosthetic leg.
Yes.
And what you're looking for is the Cadillac of legs.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, the Cadillac, the Maserati, the car changes every single time I describe this leg. Depending on
the age. You're going to get the Studebaker of legs.
Right now, I'm working with the jalopy of legs right now. I've got like the Archie Andrews car of legs. It's just breaking down all the time. So I'm looking for like this high-end leg that's just the most anatomically accurate, I guess, leg that's out there on the market. So it's a microprocessor knee, which means it's essentially a computer, but a leg.
And what are they worth?
Sorry?
What would they be worth?
Oh, $100,000. A little bit over.
It's hard to believe even now that the one you have wouldn't be better.
That it wouldn't be better?
Yeah.
Why? What do you mean?
No, I'm just saying, because it's 2017, even a basic leg wouldn't be uncomfortable.
You would think that, but the thing is, like, the engineering behind creating a leg that's so specific to each amputee, like, to move with your knee, to anticipate your motion, to help you, like, it actually takes so much technology to make something that's, like, and even that is, like, it's still not perfect. The 100K one is still
not
perfect.
Well, I was going to say, who has the 100K leg right now? Where is it now?
Okay, it's on. Well, it's only been about 6 or so years that it's been available to civilians on the market. It's military grade, so it was actually originally designed and only used by injured military service members. So if they had their leg blown off, like, this leg would not only be like a replacement, but it would be designed for them to go back into combat. So this leg was made for going back into war.
Wow.
And being able to be in combat activity. So it's like, there's so many different features of it. It's waterproof. It's got stumble recovery. If it senses that you're about to fall, it sort of like it changes its direction.
Does it have a little place where you can make like some curry, get like a curry,
like some lattes
where you can make a latte?
Stuff. Yeah, you'd think so.
Does it come with a lifetime guarantee?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, if you spend $100K in a leg,
you don't want
to take it to like Mr. Lube.
Just
a
leg.
Yeah, I mean, you can get like repairs and adjustments, but the thing is, the luxury of this is it's not likely to break down on you. You can go in for adjustments and stuff, but it's going to last you a long time, and it's going to be high grade. It's going to be reliable. Whereas the one that I had, the whole reason why I'm wanting to get this, what I call the dream leg, is because my basic leg broke in half on me on the stairs of Ossington subway station a few months ago. So, and that was a brand new leg. They're up to between $20,000 and $60,000. The basic
legs. So who pays for your leg, Courtney Gilmore?
Right.
If we can't, because we're gonna get it. We're gonna send everyone to this GoFundMe page.
Yeah, I have my whole story on there. But I mean, there's no federal government funding for prosthetics at all.
Hold on a second. You mean so if we can't get you the $100,000 leg? You have to, your family, your, the Gilmores, have to buy you legs?
I mean, so here's the situation, and it sort of varies from amputee to amputee, but I don't know if you've heard of the War Amps organization.
Yes.
So they're a charity, and they've been in existence for 100 years. They were started by war vets, so they started a program for child amputees going forward. They were like, you know, it sucks to be an amputee. We want to put together an organization that has funding to provide artificial limbs for every child in Canada. So they've been providing funding for every child in Canada for arms, legs, and everything. So they've been covering my legs up till a certain point, because I grew up knowing the War Amps. They're like family to me. So they've been covering my legs, but they kind of have a cutoff point, like an age range, because their primary focus is children.
Yeah, sure.
So if you get the boot, which it makes sense to, because they're only a charity, they're not government assisted, you're on your own. You are going into thousands of dollars worth of debt because the government doesn't have funding that covers you. There's like provincial programs. Like, we have one in Ontario called Assistive Devices Program. They cover a small percentage. So for example, for this $100,000 leg, they're going to cover $9,000. It's nice, but it's also nothing.
Sure. And who makes the leg? Where is it now?
It's in Germany. So
the
company.
The Germans. The Germans. Of course.
Military grade. Of course, the Germans got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we have some nice legs.
There's a. Yeah, the company is called Autobach, and they make legs. And so they
Hello,
have to
Courtney.
Order the parts.
We have your beautiful leg.
So how would that work? You would tell them, hey, I have the money, and then.
So I go to like a. So the facility, the prosthetic facilities in Toronto, they like fit you, like they do like the molding of your leg. And they help do all the technical aspects to help you get fitted for it. And then Autobach sends them the components, and they kind of like put
Autobach.
It together from
Isn't there some like...
I got a trial of the Dream Leg, which is really cool. I got to use it for 2 weeks.
Oh.
It's so sweet. You have to... It's battery... I had to charge it next to my iPhone at night. Like, it was crazy. You had like little lights up, and you just plug it into the wall. It's
Isn't
crazy.
There some promotional angle or something you could use to get it reduced?
I've been tagging them on Twitter for so long. I'm wanting them to like step up and be like, hey, let's
what I was gonna say, you know, that is another angle. Like,
yeah.
If you could get a hold of somebody and say, hey, I'm out there, you know,
they're getting so much press. They're getting so much press.
Exactly.
I have written to them, but I have been in contact with them. My dream, I want it for myself, but I also, like, it's crazy that we're relying on a charity to provide limbs for people. You know?
I want everyone to know it's GoFundMe.com/DreamLeg. It couldn't be easier. We'll put it up on our... social network.
It's both on Facebook and Twitter.
Nice.
Is it? Is
Thank
that,
you.
We're on both Facebook
and Twitter.
And the Twitter.
And
the
on
Twitter.
All cylinders.
Wow. Are we doing with the hashtagging?
In the hashtagging.
In
the
hashtagging.
Are we doing the hashtagging? Are we doing... Listen, may I ask you a question? Are we doing the Insta stories?
I didn't put the picture on it.
I have two more questions, Phil. Are we doing with the Instagram?
I think we Insta-twitted.
Are we Snapchatting?
Yes, we're booking.
All right, let's do it all. GoFundMe.com/DreamLeg. I was going to say there's a funny Gary Gullman. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, I love him.
He's got a funny bit. He has this bit. One of his friends is talking about, the Germans, blah, 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 and they're socialized, whatever, their socialized medicine. He goes, you know, that's not the reason we're mad at them. it wasn't the universal health care.
Yeah.
But why can't we get... So why can't we shame the Germans into giving you the bionic leg?
Will that work? Can they be shamed into it? The thing is, I don't know that they don't want it. It's just they're making it. It's expensive. They have to sell it, I think. I think I get that. But you
can
know,
we get a hold of somebody at Autobach, the German manufacturer of the super leg?
Right.
By the way, what is the leg's name?
It's called the Genium X3. So there's the Genium. The X3 is the waterproof one. That's the one I want. Genium, G-E-N-I-U-M. So
it's waterproof.
Yeah, because...
Why, do you swim a lot?
Well, I would like to be able to swim with both, but I could even... I can't stand up in the shower. I have to, like, full standing.
Or stepping in puddles,
you know, like, it would be really cool to have a waterproof leg, so that would be great.
You just wonder, though, at 100,000, like... So... They make them to sell them. Who are they selling them to? And is it only affluent, rich, disabled
people? No, it's not, though.
People?
It's not disabled. It's not rich people. It's well, I mean, they're... the thing is, you know, like I said, it hasn't been on the market for too long for civilians who aren't injured war. And I'm not saying that they should not get it at all. I'm just saying, like, we need more accessibility for regular people to also have it. So it's people who are going into debt getting it. Some of them have been, I think, maybe donated, like, the first ones as not an experiment, but just sort of, like, here's the prototype. Let's see how it works on you.
Right.
So, yeah, there's some stuff like that going on. But it's not, like, every... It's really expensive. It's not like so many people have it.
No, exactly. I like it. It's kind of cool.
I'm not even asking for arms, guys. I just want the leg.
Exactly. Come on.
I'm really humble. I'm not, I'm very, you know, I'm a basic, simple girl. Just want a leg. I'll deal with the hands thing.
The Genium X3.
Yes.
This year.
This year.
Put your. About a place called put yourself in the Genium X3 waterproof super leg from Germany. You know the Germans and their super legs.
You just think of all the money that's pissed away, like in this country, in a year, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And the people that could be helped.
This is Humble and Fred.
Coming up, we've got more clips from the archive and clips from this week. You're listening to the best of Humble and Fred. I'm Philip Pong. We're on air and we're online.
Conversation is like making love, caressing each other with words and petty, engaging topics of conversation. And Humble and Fred do it every morning. They make love to each other, with the whole country listening in.
The legendary Humble and Fred Radio.
Just for life.
Canada's national morning show.
And a dangerous mind.
They are not right in the head. Devious.
The best of Humble and Fred, powered by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, Strain Print, The Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, and Cannabis Career Network.
It's pun so old in the nighttime. Yes.
My name's Howard. Could have been worse. Could have been Harold. Seriously. You get named Howard, you're just one. You're just a few letters away from being Harold or Harry. There really isn't a lot of other H names that, you know, what are your options? If you're, what were the other options my parents were considering? I mean, with Fred, you got, that's just the greatest name ever. Fred's just, everything is Fred. Fred. But, I mean, there's like, you know, Fred's not here.
Fred Flintstone.
Freddie Anderson.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Like, other than Howard Hughes,
mm-hmm.
Howard Cosell, Howard Stern.
Howard Johnson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Anyway, it's Howard here, along with Freddie. Again, it could have been Harold and Fred.
But I was named right directly after someone. My grandfather, were you?
I was not named after your grandfather.
That's a good one.
Thank you. Yes, of course, I was named after, I don't know, I can't remember.
Someone, so not that significant in your life.
No, I see what you're saying. No,
mine
no,
was.
No, I know.
I was named after someone who was, even though he died when I was 11, was a significant player
right.
in my life. Mm-hmm. You are a bit different. You understand?
No,
there's
I do.
Freddie Van Fleet on the Raptors. A couple of Freddies in the sports scene in Toronto right now. Notable players.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie Anderson. Freddie Van Fleet.
As we all mm-hmm. know, Phil was named after one of our prime ministers.
Brian Mulroney.
Sean, who were you named after?
Sean Connery,
obviously. A big...
Sean Connery.
Made a big impact in Georgetown, where Sean's from.
My mom
did. Is that true, by the way?
My mom likes Sean Connery.
Your mom likes Sean Connery. I love that.
00 Highway 7.
We have a big meeting on Thursday. There might be a chance... Mm. Coming soon, a chance to watch the program while we're doing it.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I'm nervous about that.
Well, we've played around with this idea for a long time. And there might... Listen, so look how I'm dressed this morning.
You know? Got a hoodie on, yeah?
No, but I'm saying we're not... You know, I'm no picture to look at.
No, either am I. That's why I'm nervous. It's going to be all about camera angle for me.
Well, you know what we'll do? Why don't we get some of those Mexican wrestler masks?
Oh, you mean luchadors?
Yeah, luchador. Now, I can't tell if it's me, this hoodie, or the office, but something smells like, or my house. Does it not smell like there's been cooking? Does it smell like cooking in here?
I can smell coffee. I mean,
I don't know.
The last few mornings when I've come in the back, I know your place smells like pot.
But that's not cooking. Not today.
You're not cooking pot, are you?
No.
Okay.
But no, it doesn't smell like pot today.
No, I didn't notice it today.
But I'm getting a whiff of like some food. Now, you, speaking of food, Fred, excuse me, yeah, revealed just moments ago that he'd made a cabbage lasagna. And I said, stop the presses. I didn't even know that was possible. I've heard of cauliflower pizza, but this is next level stuff.
No, I was just, you know, on the internet the other day, and I love cabbage. I just absolutely love cabbage, especially red cabbage. Just to pull it off the head and eat it. Mm-hmm. It's got a little bit of that radishy flavor.
Oh, yes, yes.
I just love it. And then I see this thing, cabbage lasagna, where you just replace the pasta with cabbage. And I chose red cabbage. So you just make a lasagna, but instead of the pasta, cabbage. And it was absolutely delicious.
So, several questions. So, how do you get the... Because red cabbage is generally round.
Yeah, but when you pull the leaves off, they lay flat.
So how do you... But do you lay them... You have to layer them.
Oh, yeah. So
how many layers of cabbage?
I put the sauce. You know, you make the sauce first, the sort of spaghetti sauce. And I added something extra. Anyway, so I did the spaghetti sauce, a layer of that, and then the ricotta and cottage cheese. And then I put a layer of cabbage, and then covered it with mozzarella cheese. And then did it again. More sauce, more ricotta, and cottage, more cabbage. And then on top, I put a layer of cheese. Mm-hmm. And to the sauce, I added hot Italian sausage.
Ooh.
And so then you put it in the oven. I put it in for over an hour.
So when you come, when then, it comes yeah. out...
And right at the end, I turn the broiler on.
Oh, you crispy up top.
Yeah.
Nice. But and when it comes good. Out, how do you eat it? Because cabbage is pretty
flimsy.
Yeah, it's mushy.
Yeah. Oh, no, this wasn't. Believe it or not, the cabbage was still sort of crispy. Not crispy, but not just
so
limp.
So easy to cut through?
Holds on to its own?
Yeah, I mean, you have to make sure you cut through it.
Right.
Because if you don't, it'll drag the whole leaf out.
Because I had a cabbage roll early last week, and I love them. I don't know what made me have one, but right. When you go to cut it, you've got to be very... Because the cabbage slips off the meat
it can.
Log.
Yes. Well, just make
Do you
sure.
know what a cabbage roll is? It's basically cabbage surrounding a meat log.
Yeah, a little bit of rice in there.
Yeah, rice and meat.
Yeah.
I took a sort of like a heavy steak knife to cut it. And you know the thing is, when you first make lasagna, it's a bit runny and everything because it's still hot. It's usually better the next day, you know, when you put it in the fridge and then it just sort of solidifies.
Do you have
a
any
bit.
Leftovers? You might bring the house.
Yes, I will.
Taste.
I will. Absolutely,
taste
I will. Okay, I will.
I'll give you some money.
You don't have to do that.
No, but I'm happy to.
No, you don't
what
have
do you
to.
Need, like,
just give me some pot.
How much more pot of mine do you want?
A little oregano.
Give you all how much more of my pot do you
how
want?
Much more pot? I'll give
no,
you all
I'm
the pot
kidding.
You want, man.
I'm kidding.
I'll give you $3.
No. Take me for a ride in your car? Anyway.
No, seriously. What do you tell me what you want? Is it $2.75?
Nothing.
All right. Fine.
I will bring you in a big
hunk
tomorrow. Because I made so much, and it's just the two of us, eh? We're empty nesters, eh?
Oh, yeah.
So when you're making your dinner... Well, you know all about that.
Of course.
You know, all of a sudden you got this pot, this thing of
lasagna.
Yeah. And, you know, by Wednesday, it's like, okay, that's enough. But anyway, I will bring you some in. And, yeah, if you like cabbage, it's just a twist on something. You know, you're always looking for something recipe-wise.
Yeah.
You know, just to spice up your life.
We're talking what? Food or sex?
Anything. Food and sex, sort of the same, right?
Absolutely.
So,
a lot of preparation and doesn't take long. To, once
well, that's
you,
it.
Once you serve it, it's like it's over in a few minutes.
Over
it's
the
like,
broiler.
That's
all that,
it.
Foreplay was for this.
If I was to do it again, I might put a little more cabbage on and maybe a little more ricotta. That's all. But, I mean, it was still good, and you'll see, because I'll... Yeah.
You know, you said something interesting in that sentence, too. First of all, it's a great idea, and you know, in this day and age where... Now, it's not... You got to be careful. Is cabbage okay? Because I know the whole lettuce... Lettuce has been...
okay.
Romaine lettuce.
Been tossed.
Everyone is... No one wants any more lettuce. but romaine, or I should say cabbage, is fine. We haven't infected our cabbage crops yet.
Right.
Good.
And the, you know what the interesting part was, too? After eating cabbage lasagna, you don't have that full... You know, after pasta lasagna, you feel, like, full and...
Yeah.
You know the way that feeling that
but
gives
it what did it do to your bowel area? Were you
I'm still waiting.
Oh, are you? I don't know about that.
What do you mean?
Well, just a little while ago, I saw you lift a cheek. You had something going on.
A cabbage cheek?
When?
No, sometimes. Yeah, I did.
I was moving my chair.
No, you weren't. Okay.
Well, you're wrong. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, the only reason I say that is because there was a moment about an hour ago, whenever it was you sat down, that you kind of went over to one side. And then I also let... I also did some wind relieving.
Whoever smelt it, dealt it.
Let me just say this. I didn't smell anything other than the fact this whole place smells like cooking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I let something out, and I was just waiting for it to waft over to your side.
No, it didn't make it.
Yeah. This was not good over here. Honestly.
It did not land.
Whatever was released from me was some poison, because that is... I'm trying to think what I ate that produced that. Maybe that's what's happened to me, is that I did that, and now it's on me, and I can't get it off.
Great ending to the lasagna bit.
Cabbage roll fart.
Yeah, Phil, it's a best of, for sure. That's a best of bit, for sure.
But I say, if you like cabbage, you know, when growing up, my dad just loved boiled cabbage with vinegar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I think that's where I got my taste for it.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a side dish with dinner, right? And then we started going to a place in the States called the Cheesecake Factory. There's one here in Toronto now.
Yes.
And they have this thing where they have these lettuce wraps where it's chicken and you put them in the lettuce wrap.
Yeah.
But around, it comes on a bed of red cabbage. And that's my favorite part, is the red cabbage.
What is that? Is it a Thai dish?
I believe it's Cantonese. It's called sang choy bao. So you take leaves of iceberg lettuce and then you throw...
No, not iceberg.
But I'm just saying there's an Asian dish where you put the stuff inside
a leaf of
something.
At Cheesecake Factory, it's sort of spun as Thai.
Yeah. Oh.
This is Humble and Fred.
More from the Best of Humble and Fred Week coming up on the Best of Humble and Fred on air and online. I'm Philip Hong. First, we have a couple of very important announcements.
We recommend the Spearhead Brewing Company, located in Kingston, Ontario, makes its award-winning Hawaiian Pale Ale all year round. It's a 6% West Coast Pale Ale brewed Hawaiian style. Of course, you got the Sam Roberts Band on board. It really is one of those beers that, people find it delicious. This is what my beer drinking friends tell me. They say, the Spearhead Brewing Company out of Kingston is doing something right. They're making delicious beer, and we recommend it. You tell me it's available all over the place.
More and more places.
Where people buy beer?
Where people buy beer.
Can you get it at the Lick Boat?
The Brampton LCBO.
LBC Bar Duty.
They have the Hawaiian Pale Ale.
Lick Boat.
It stands there proudly, and people are constantly grabbing it.
Oh, it's
like Trump
fresh. Trump on a pee. As a fresh, citrusy character, hints of tropical fruit, zest, and pine, and a refreshingly dry finish. That's how you finish now, isn't it?
Refreshingly dry. Hey. Goobal.
Thank you.
Goobal.
This program brought to you by FYI Music News, my brother.
Howard, nice feature on a guy I think you once worked for named Don Schaefer.
Yes. First morning show I did was for Don Schaefer at CFOX.
Profile of his career, part of the Music Biz headlines this week. Pusha T's Toronto concert.
Pusha T.
You know, the onstage brawl, there's a full report on that. And then a plea to Drake, please keep your feuds out of our city, being Toronto. It seems, you know, where Drake goes, some trouble follows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got enough trouble on our own.
What about Elton John? He can't stop gushing about Toronto band The Beaches, who are making a lot of noise. Remember you?
Yes. Well, I was going to say my youngest shot their music video, and I said to her, try and get those kids on here. We would, we'd love that. Young women.
More and more I'm hearing about them.
Yes.
Okay, and today's new track, FYIMusicNews.ca, today's new track is Dilly Dally, the song Marijuana.
Uh-oh.
So check that out. Today's new track, part of FYI Music News on a daily basis. Go there. Lots to read about.
This is Humble and Fred.
I've been watching. There's a show that the girls and I used to watch back in the 2011s and 12s called New Girl with Zooey Deschanel. And it's just interesting. I noticed the language of the internet or the language of being online has changed. And what I'm trying to say is, you know, not very many of us say internet anymore. But back in the 2011s, 12s, when it was still just the lexicon changed because they were still saying internet a lot. And then think about 10 years before that, we were saying the World Wide Web.
And people were given addresses with www.
I do a joke in my act. As you can always tell how old somebody is when they tell you a website. They start going www. All right, Jebediah. Why don't you churn your own butter?
So, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, but over time, you don't hear very many people call it the internet even.
That's interesting because if I'm telling you about that recipe, I could have got it out of a book, television, or online. So what would the term be?
Well, no, I was
online?
No, or you just you found the recipe online is what we would more likely say than I was looking on the internet. And that's that's what made me think of this episode I saw on the show recently. When just before Charlie went to New York, she and I were watching some old episodes of the show. I love the show. It's really funny. But I just notice, even in 8 years, how we talk differently about the online experience.
Yes, you're right.
And guys our age, you know, once in a while they'll run into me or you and they'll say, oh, yeah, I hear you doing the internet radio. We don't really hear that very much.
No.
But when we first started doing the podcast, I heard that all the time. Oh, I hear you and Fred are doing a show on the internet.
Right.
And nowadays, no one even says that because everything is on the internet.
Exactly. And this show has become, has fallen under the podcast thing.
This show.
So when people use the word podcast, you just know it's online.
Right. By coincidence.
But when we first started doing
podcast. Oh, no, I get it. Yeah. Well, people didn't know what podcast
was. Know what it was, but that term, the internet. And again, when we first started talking about the internet in the mid-90s and getting Gmail and telling people to go to, you know, it was such a novelty to go to a website.
Oh, yes.
But as, you know, we've discovered even in the 7 years we've done this, we spent a lot of time when we first started building the website. And really, other than you posting links for our sponsors, obviously our show's there, I don't go there very much. Mm-hmm. We don't really talk about websites very much.
No, Facebook has really changed that for a lot of websites. It's almost like an interface or a...
like a walled garden. Like where people stay.
It's all about accessibility. So many people are on Facebook, although I don't know, is that depleting? Whatever. There's no real need because anybody, I think, now with a website has created a Facebook page.
Right.
So you never really get the opportunity to go to the website because you always hit upon the Facebook page first.
No, I
right?
know. You know, I'm smiling because, you know, a friend of mine's wife was thinking of doing some things with recipes. And one time he said to me, oh, yeah, she's going to sell recipes online. And I said, well, that doesn't make any sense because you could just get them for free online. There's no
cabbage lasagna.
Say that. There's no recipe in the world that you couldn't get online for free.
You know what's wrong with that business plan is there's a thing called all recipes.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what all means?
All of them.
All recipes.
Yeah. And if you can't remember all recipes, just look up any recipe. It's online.
Just Google.
It's free.
Yeah.
That recipe, the cabbage recipe with the lasagna,
yeah.
I'll bet you I can find...
Well, it was a video that I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, but I bet you there's 15 of them. I bet you there's 15,000 cabbage lasagna recipes.
Oh, without a doubt.
You could find... Here's if you wanted somebody to teach you how to make that recipe naked, you could probably find that, too. Just Google cabbage lasagna naked chef.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. I was telling.
Yeah, it's not...
I was telling Rachel.
That's not
that.
A winner.
No.
Okay.
On Saturday night, I had this crazy drive to Oshawa.
Oh, right. How did that work?
That worked out great, but
good.
It was just a really... It was a t- tough night here in the city. It's supposed to take us about an hour and 10 minutes to get there. Ended up taking us 2 hours and 10 minutes.
To Oshawa on a Saturday night?
Yeah, it was raining, and this coming out of the Queensway here, there was construction well down there, and we just made I just made a bad decision. I should have just gone north. It doesn't matter, but I was telling her about that business idea, and she thought I was just doing a bit. I said, no, she's going to sell recipes online. She's like, no, that's... Is that part of your act?
Beyond that, though, why wouldn't you just go 427 and up to 401?
Yeah. Well, because I had to pick up another comic in the city, sort of around Bloor and
when have you become the comic chauffeur?
It's right. Just the thing.
I know.
I'm the only guy that has a car. All these other... Seriously. It's comedians. They have cars. Like, you know what I mean? You forget what you see online with Jerry and his friends.
You should do comedians in cars, mooch and rides.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's it. Just comedians in cars. Comedians with one guy who has a car. Anyway, that's why I had to go through the city. So that took me... The through the city part was a good hour of that.
You.
Oh, you're a better man than I. Anyway, back to... hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Just now listening to your Tuesday show, you are discussing drivers that go up to the empty lanes at a merge point. I recommend Google searching Zipper Merge Ontario. Using all lanes to the merge point is more efficient, and it has been the expectation of roadways for a few years. Those people shooting up the lanes may not be malicious. They just may be trying to follow traffic laws. Okay, we'll look into that. Love you guys. Happy belated birthday, Phil.
Phil, you make a birthday.
I make a birthday.
Did we ever solve the mystery of the Triple J? I can't remember if we...
Yes, it should be in one of the emails there.
But did we mention that... Because I was reading an email from Debbie Morrison or Deb Hendershot, and she did Triple J, and I didn't know what it meant, but it's a on some... Depending on how you're texting somebody, that she was trying to make smiley faces.
Right, they were wingdings.
Wait, what? Well, whatever it was.
If you remember wingdings.
We received another email from Laura.
Hi, guys.
Dorica?
Hi, guys.
Basically, I'm just going to paraphrase here. Hey, Doc and Freddie P, bringing our love of the Leafs internationally from Florida. And then she talks about this place called Peanut Island near West Palm Beach. She's saying it's fantastic. Short ferry ride to the island. If you have little ones, it's fantastic. I'm trying to keep up with the podcast as best I can while I'm away. Isn't that nice? To be wintering, to be Novembering in Florida. Very sweet. Thank you for the shout out.
Mm-hmm.
Laura
brother.
Dorica.
And again, I know I dwell on the negative and, you know, all that, but November, the last couple of days have been tolerable because, you know, yesterday was clearly a beautiful day. It was 12 degrees. 10 degrees when I took Stan over to the park.
Yeah. Dreary. But comfortable.
That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. This is a dreary month. It is.
Yeah.
And every day... It's overcast, windy, and cold. But we got a bit of a break this weekend. I don't mind overcast and, you know, you can go outside and not be uncomfortable.
Right.
The point is, you're going to go on a sexivation, sexcation or whatever.
Yeah, to Singapore, either 29 or 32 for the entire week.
So, you know... It's just human nature when you're going somewhere, whether it's Singapore. In my case, I'm going to Fort Lauderdale. You're going to...
I'm just going down to the old familiar.
But where? Where are you going?
Indian Rocks.
Okay, well, where are you
just
flying
south
into?
Of Clear into Tampa.
Okay, so you're going to Tampa. I'm going to Fort Lauderdale. I'm just going to the same place I go every year.
Yeah.
I'm going to a different golf experience this year with Club Link, but it's the same general area. But have you started seeing what the temperatures are in, like, next week?
Yeah, in the 20s, aren't they?
In the 20s. They're in the 20s and the 30s. Sunny.
Right.
And it's funny, because I've just thought about it. You know, Laura's already away. A lot of people, I think, in a weird way, the fact that November is what it's like here in Canada, that really does sell the winter vacation. It's good for the winter vacation industry.
Oh, yeah.
I've had this discussion with my wife. When we're retired, I'm not going to go away for 6-5 months at a time. Don't want to. would miss the grandkids too much. But I said to Delise, I said, a great strategy might be towards the end of October, just drive south, like into South Carolina or something for November, right? Yeah. It may not be hot and everything, but it's pleasant, right?
And it's then, not dreary.
And drive back for Christmas, and then in the new year, go somewhere for a couple of months.
I like it.
Yeah, why not?
Just take your computer, Skype in every so often.
No, this is when we're both finished.
We're never going to be finished. Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually see if there's, I can go back to my roots and get a job announcing at like so Costco or something.
Clean up an ILA.
That's right.
I even think that's all voice track now.
Yeah, that's right.
It is.
All the announcers are gone from Costco.
Yeah, they are.
Damn it.
So welcome to Costco.
This is Humble and Fred.
The best of Humble and Fred, powered by FYI Music News, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, The Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, Strain Print, and Cannabis Career Network.
Welcome to another Humble and Fred moment in history. Humble and Fred, free for the first time since 2005, and that's real freedom. Here's William Wallace to tell you more. Freedom! Well, that's freedom you can feel in your shorts. You know, without getting your backside split asunder. Holy God, that must have been painful. Humble and Fred, free for the first time since 2005. And the legend continues.
Humble and Fred Radio.
Miscellaneous Humble and Fred. I'm full of Pong, and welcome back to the best of Humble and Fred on Friday, on air and online. You know, we have a couple of wonderful archive segments just for you in this part of the show, and the best of Humble and Fred basically gets its material from 7 years of constant Humble and Fred chatter, because that's something you love, and we like to revisit some of these segments once in a while. So we're going to start with some chores. We're going to start with shirts. We're going to start with ironing. We're going to hear more about why Humble and Fred should be beloved. Yeah, we're going to hear more about that, as well as online shopping on the best of Humble and Fred.
We're both wearing similar shirts. We look as though we're grown up, like we're actually going to a grown up man's job.
I actually ironed this shirt at about 5:30 this morning.
Yeah, very impressive.
I mean, it's a material that wrinkles quite easily.
Yeah. You know the trick I use?
What's the trick?
It won't work so much for shirts like this, but like if I have a casual shirt or something that's got a little wrinkle in it, you ever do this? You take like a wet cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you throw the garments back in the dryer with the wet cloth, and then it sort of 5 or 6 minutes of tumbling, really? It de-wrinkles it.
Oh, yeah. I've never done that.
Are you serious?
No.
And
then it takes the wrinkles out.
Yeah.
Oh.
But what I want to ask you is this. Like, I learned to iron years ago, much like you do. I did, but I'm not as good as you. I think what it is I don't think my iron is very good. You probably have a good iron.
Yeah. We just got a new one. We go through irons. We go through them.
Well, what happens to them when they
just they either stop working or they don't get as hot or
yeah.
Because I think the elements wear out a bit.
Like when I can see you've got a nice crease in the arm. I mean that's some next level. You're like an ironing ninja. Listen, look at he's got a pleat
yes.
in his arm.
Iron ninja.
Iron ninja.
Well, thank you.
Does that make you feel self-conscious that I'm complimenting you?
No, because, you know, if I put a hoodie on or something, you can just grab it and dash. But some days, you know, when the weather gets a little milder,
yes.
You know, you want to get away from the sweaters, the hoodies and stuff in here. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll wear a shirt, and then I think, oh, I reach for a shirt and think it's been washed but not ironed.
Mm.
Ideally, I like to iron it the night before. So it's ready in the morning. What's the matter with that?
No, just while you're talking in service. Who do we say? Anyway, he just texted me and said, Iron Chef. Anyway, but one thing on your ironing on your pocket, there seems to be a little bit of an ironing mishap.
Oh, really? Oh, well. I'll work on that.
But mostly, I'm pretty impressed by your abilities. It is something.
Well, I'm sure you could do it, too. And I'm not a very... Delise is a fantastic eye runner. Mm-hmm. So if we go to a wedding or something, I said, darling, will you wear my shirt?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, will you wear my shirt?
Is that what it sounds like when you ask for other things, too? Or is that a euphemism in the Patterson family?
No, I just... If I wash your car, I'm in. Doesn't matter. If I wash your car quickly and vacuum it out, I'm like good. I'm gold.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is that a sign? Is that like one of those things where after all the years you've been together, if Delise sees you out there in your funky shorts and Crocs ironing her car, she's like, uh-oh.
Oh, dear. Are you ironing her car?
No, I'm sorry. I meant washing her car. Why would you iron her car?
Well, you just said that.
I know. I'm stupid. Oh. You know, I'm nearly 58 years old, Phil. Yep. I'm nearly 58 years old. And for the life of me, I have no idea how that happened. One second, I was just a bright, cheery... No, I was never cheery. Mm-hmm. I was a bright-eyed lad. When I first met you, I was 29 years old.
Wow.
And you were 33 when I met you. And now we're just a couple of guys... In their 60s, late 50s.
Vacuuming your shirts and ironing your cars.
You know what? You know who doesn't know what to do with us? The radio industry. Uh-huh. Has no idea.
Yeah?
I'm not sure if it's a legacy thing. Like, did we just ruffle too many feathers?
Obviously.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, no,
about.
I know.
Like, don't you think by this point... There's Fred. He's just gonna.
Anyway,
don't you think by this point you're 61? I'm a couple of days away from being a 58 year old man. Do you not think at some point we'd turn the corner and become beloved?
No,
like really, like we are beloved, and I'm saying this all since our small but fierce audience really enjoys this program, and it makes me proud that we have such great listeners. And I mean that.
Yeah.
But we're not beloved.
No. No.
And when you look at the guys that are, the men and women that are beloved, sometimes I go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, you know, Pete Griffin or Scruff Connors or, you know, those sorts. Aaron Davis. But then I see some of the people that are beloved. I mean, those people, that make sense. But there's some people that are beloved that I think, wow, we could be beloved if they are.
But why do you torment yourself that way?
Just because we got 2 hours to fill. I thought I'd have some fun.
Like, perception is 99% of reality, and that's the perception. And I'm sure it was earned. People just don't decide one day they dislike you or they think you're an art for no reason. Mm-hmm. You earn it. Somewhere over the years, that's what happened.
But let me just say this. I say this with all due respect.
What?
It can't have all been me. It can't all be...
Oh, so what was it? And I'm the same way.
Like, no, I'm saying...
Nobody hired me.
No, but what I mean is, like, if I ruffled some feathers or I had a bad couple of decades there, you know, it can't all be...
A couple of decades will do it.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
But it can't be... It can't all... I mean, for me, our show always was different than their shows.
Yeah.
And is that why that we never achieved... Beloved status, you know, because we were too irreverent, we were too weird, we did too many fart jokes in the day.
Which, don't know.
By the way, our fart joke production has completely dropped off. Have you noticed that?
Well, they're there when we need them. This morning, I'm flipping around looking at stuff, and I happen upon... I've never bought merchandise online, have you? Like, other than...
Tons.
Yeah, but beyond drugs?
No, I buy clothes.
Oh, really?
I bought a book that just came the other day. Yeah. I bought this shirt online. I bought these pants online.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I haven't. Delise has on my behalf, but I just saw this. I just saw this website for shoes, and I really like the shoes. This is how it happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're on a website. You see a product you really like.
You want it.
And click, 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 and the thing would be delivered to my house. Not until March, but that's fine. These are like sort of summery spring shoes.
Yeah, I know that site.
What is it?
Well, just give me the name of it.
Socky Shoes? No, Socky Socks.
I don't know that site. Socky Shoes.
No, Socky Socks.
Because there's a couple sites that they offer really, really, really low prices on clothes. Except the delivery date is way out. It's
yes.
And I haven't gone to Socky Shoes or Shoesy Shoes or Socky Sock. But there's a couple sites where the prices are really, really low, but yes, the delivery date is like 6 or 7 weeks. Whereas, like, I could order this shirt today, even though I already have it, and it would be here on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah. Crazy, eh?
You know, the funny thing about ordering shoes online, that's the only thing I haven't purchased. I've purchased everything else in terms of wearing. I'm just nervous, because what if you get it, and then you got to send it back?
Same here. I'm an 8.5, and I'm looking at these shoes, and there's no half sizes. So I would go 9, because I know 8 would probably be too small.
Sure.
But right. 9 might be a tad. But I like these shoes. Although there's comments here, people say they look like bowling shoes, but I don't know. I might buy myself a pair of regular 189 for 99 or something.
Yeah. I order, you know, it's funny, it sort of sneaks up on you. I didn't start until a couple of years ago, and now, you know, I'm pretty comfortable with the idea. And the cool thing about the store that I order these clothes from, they also have a storefront just down the street. Oh. One in Sherway, one in... Like at Queen and Bathurst.
Yeah.
So if I ever do have to physically exchange something, I can do it like right away. I don't need, because I've never done that. Maybe Mel has. I know your daughter does. I've never packaged something up and sent it back. That part's too much of aggravation for me anyway. But but this stuff I order is from a store called Frank and Oak. And I like it. It's pretty reasonable, and, you know, the stuff lasts. It's not very expensive. You know, sometimes when you buy inexpensive clothing, you wash it too many times, it kind of...
Falls apart,
but this stuff's been pretty good. You know, this shirt, it's a nice dress shirt for, like, mm-hmm. $60.
And, like, T-shirts, over time, you wash them when you wash them, and they literally get smaller.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you think you're getting... I'm thinking, wait a minute, I haven't gained any weight. Why is this shirt, like...
Check this out.
I mean, I'm not getting bigger. The shirt's getting smaller.
Yeah, well, yes. I was going to say, I did some laundry because I had a sleepover.
Ooh.
And I like to clean things up before new Missy comes over. Anyway, I had washed a pillowcase that I'd had a long time, and I went to put it back on the pillow, and it tore. It had just gotten so
right.
Delicate and like the fibers.
I thought, oh, I guess because I've had it a long time. You just don't right. realize you can only wash a garment so many times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just ripped it. So I'm using it, you know what I'm using it for? I'm using it for rags and things, you know, in case you gotta, you know, clean some things up, Bill.
Not bad. You can use it as some a chamois or a shama.
Okay, so we started talking about ironing, then we started talking about how unbeloved we are.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
We've got more from the Best of Humble and Fred archive. I'm Philip Pong. Thank you so kindly for listening to the Best of Humble and Fred Friday on air and online. I'll give you a teaser in our next segment. We're going to hear about flat earthers and theorists like that. Oh, that's going to be a segment. First, a couple of very important and very direct and quite truthful messages.
You know, here's the thing. Whether you're contemplating retirement imminently or it's something in your future, it's always better to have the Sherpa on your side. Tim Niblett is a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. See that, Phil? Got that whole sentence out. Didn't even look at anything. You know, we don't often tell you, or should tell you more often, I would say, to go to retirementsherpa.ca. The thing about Tim is... he will guide you through the process. And one of the other great things is that he's not going to pressure you. You don't need to sign with him. Maybe just get a second opinion.
Mm-hmm.
He will help you figure out what you need. How, and you know, before I met Tim, I thought, okay, I have enough. I could live to maybe 60, you know, 61, then I'd be good. But he's shown me how I can go beyond that. Make your money last longer. Go long. Live longer while you're also living weller.
Yeah, I've noticed you've been at a lot of those affordable housing rallies lately with your placard.
Well, I might just sell this place and set up my own tent sitting in the back in the parking lot.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Tim.Niblett at RaymondJames.ca.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
Welcome back. The Best of Humble and Fred continues. I'm Philip Pong. We are in the middle of a wonderful segment featuring archive segments, some conversational segments from our archive. Can I say the word segments enough? Thank you so kindly for listening to The Best of Humble and Fred Friday. We're continuing on to this portion, which features social media, flat earthers, and Howard's Mexican sunrise story.
I'm just hand feeding Stan some water.
Oh.
How's your cat, by the way?
Oh, Cecil's okay. He misses me.
Yeah, did he notice you were gone when you were in Malaysia?
He started brushing up against my leg like the minute I got home.
When I picked up Stan on Sunday from my buddy Paul out north of Fred there, I pull in, and I guess they were in the other side of the building, and Stan started barking. Then he saw me, and he jumped up, and he was just trying to like... It was weird because he was licking me at the same time trying to climb my face. Doing all this. But it's good for him to be out there in the country, get some a lot of exercise for the week.
Well, especially if he's comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, he's not playing strange, cowering in a corner, wondering where his daddy is all
Papa.
Week.
No, he's pretty comfortable out there.
So what's this social media thing?
Says, you should never, ever argue with anyone on Facebook according to science. And there's a simple reason. It turns out we respond very differently to what people write than to what they say, even if those are the exact same thing. You know, they talk about, you know, we've all gone through this where you say something in response to somebody else, and next thing you know, there's hurt feelings and people are shouting at you. The point is, in a study, 300 subjects read, watched video of, or listened to arguments about such, you know, hot button topics, war, abortion, you know, gun control. Afterwards, they were interviewed about their reactions to the opinions with which they disagreed. Their general response was probably familiar to anyone who's discussed politics. But there was a distinct difference between those who had watched or listened to someone speak the words out loud and those who had read the identical words or text.
No, I can see that.
And those that said or watched someone say the words were less likely to dismiss the speaker as uninformed as opposed to just reading someone's little comments. And it's what you've said before. You know, at some point you lose your appetite for it. For arguing back and forth with people. And I have as well. I do enjoy this little game that you've taught me, which is just tweet nonsense to people. I do that now with this woman.
Oh, no, it's great.
Yeah, I've decided she's my target now because I just love writing God stuff
to
her.
Yeah, if you're getting some reaction, I'm sort of petering out because, again, the ones like Hannity, not so much the president, Trump. But I know Hannity's everything is, because it tells you right on there that there's a moderator and they'll go through them. So anything that disagrees with Hannity or any of his cult, they just take it away. Because some of the most bizarre things in support of Hannity have like 250 likes, and then you say something sort of rational that makes sense. Counter to that, and there's no reaction. Well, obviously, it's not being seen.
No.
So you sort of lose your enthusiasm for it.
It takes away the point of Twitter if you can't tweet.
No,
that's the thing.
Of course.
Yeah.
So this is the woman. Her name is Tommy Lahren, L-A-H-R-E-N. She's a Fox commentator of some kind.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah. Anyway, she was talking about... Yesterday, she put up something about somebody dressed in... Oh, no, it was about Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
She was talking about an actress in Black Panther that she liked because she loves Jesus and has taken the Lord as her personal savior. So I replied, I'd like to see you dressed in leopard skin while at Joel Osteen sang Bible songs to you aboard his Jesus jet.
That's great.
Because to me, I love... Right. Around with religious people so much that I've decided to mention at Joel Osteen to this girl every time I tweet. So that's what I do. It seems like we'd have better things to do in a day, but we don't.
Yeah, but it only takes a couple of seconds.
Oh, I know. It's the best.
In the morning, especially when I'm away, I'd get up and I'd be having my coffee and I really, every time I went to a baseball game or anything, I left the phone in the room because I thought I'm not going to be looking at it all the time.
No.
But you get up in the morning and you want to catch up, especially when you're away. And then I'd see some stupid Trump thing, so I'd just go to his Twitter or his Facebook, and it takes 15 seconds to say something stupid.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like I'm spending a lot of time here.
No. But it is cute.
But it is weird, whatever that feeling of, I get such joy from it. I find it hilarious. And it's, see, to me, I'm not, you're already taking care of the Hannity thing. And for a while there, a couple of weeks ago, I was just tweeting to Trump, and I was just tweeting the same thing. Why are you so dumb to everybody?
Yeah. Why are you so dumb?
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 SMRT, hack the ribs.
But this woman in particular, I find hilarious because she's such a religious.
Oh, yeah.
She's attractive.
Yeah.
You know, she's got that going for her.
But see, these glassy-eyed... But, you know, how I don't like to be get sucked in.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we've said this before. You know, Sean Hannity isn't a stupid man. Or people of his ilk.
No.
To them, this is show business. This is a huge machinery. This is a business. So you know they sit there... And they know it's like, okay, we got to take this stand today. It doesn't look that logical. And given current news, it doesn't look that we've got to spin this in such a way that we don't look super stupid.
Right.
So they do that and it frustrates you because you know that it's wrong, but they don't care because it's just dollars and cents to them. It's a game. It's the spin. It's just the spin game.
Yeah, but the one thing about Hannity that sort of where I believe it's not spin for him, I think he's a pretty deeply religious dude.
No, he is. Yeah. He is.
And that's even makes that I find funnier than anything. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's a bright guy who believes in magical thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, I'm not sure if we mentioned it yesterday, but there's a story about a flat earthers convention in Edmonton this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to talk to Amanda and Phil. We should all, I just want to get, if we can just get somebody from the Flat Earth Society to talk to us.
Well, it's funny you say that because when I saw that thing, I looked at some sort of a contact to see if we could get somebody and it was weird because this group that's going to be in Edmonton, nobody really knows who they are at this point. They're a new group.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. If you're listening and you have any contact or you know of one of your friends, because as I was laughing with Rachel on the holiday, I go, you know, of all the things these poor people could attach themselves to, we have a lot of proof that they don't believe in. And that's what she said to me. What do they think? I said they believe that all the other planets are round except ours.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just this flat mass.
Right, and they're going to get on a plane where the pilots and the instruments and everything else on that plane is based on a round Earth. They'll fly to Edmonton and then dispute that.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't have to be up very high to start seeing the curvature of the Earth.
Right. It's right in front of their windows. Well, it is the land of the dinosaurs, Alberta.
And the moon's round and the sun's round.
Well, no, they
round.
Believe everything is round except the Earth.
That's why it's so bizarre to me. Like, it's...
Yeah, but wouldn't you love to talk to somebody?
Yeah, but they really think that?
Yes.
How can anybody think that?
Fred, I know you said this once. You said, oh, they're, to them, it's a bit. It's not. I've gone down some of these rabbit holes into and seen some of these people talk about it. They're very, very earnest about it. Phil.
Error.
All right. Should we shut this down because we got you to do?
Yeah, I got
to
worship the spaghetti monster now.
Maybe tomorrow I'll tell you the story of watching the sun come up and then...
Rachel. Have we not talked about that yet?
No, but...
Huh?
Yeah. I should tell the story about
There's
Rachel.
There's a bell ringer for you.
What's that?
No, we talked about this yesterday.
What, me going to watch the sun come up?
Yeah.
And me saying it's how much you must be totally in love with this woman.
2 hours
because
by
if
bike.
I had ever said to you,
oh, yeah,
let's
yeah.
get up before the
no.
sun comes
no,
up and ride to see
about.
This the sunrise, okay. you'd go, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but what I didn't tell you is that she and I were sitting there. We got there about 10 to 7. And we had checked. We wanted to get there early because the sunrise at that time in Tulum was 7:11 a.m. Easy, Phil.
Aww.
And so we were sitting there, you know, and there was like these gulls, they're called, diving into the ocean, getting fish. It was amazing, right? Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool when you see that up close, right? And so we were watching that. And, you know, we're basically facing straight east. And for a few minutes, we're kind of going, oh, this is really nice, but, you know, not quite as spectacular as we thought it was going to be. And the reason we were a little confused is the sun had yet to come up. Because at 7:11, when it cracked the horizon, both of us were like, oh, that's what it looks like. And we started laughing like, what a couple of idiots that didn't realize it was going to come out of
the ocean.
The ocean. Because we were kind of like, oh, I guess that's it. You know, it got light-ish.
You got to be kidding.
I swear. And then we were like, oh, yeah, I guess that's for the...
Really?
Yeah. No, I know. It was pretty funny to each other. We were just a little
so you
groggy.
Thought just because the... It was sort of light out and you can see things.
That's right.
That was the sunrise.
That was the sunrise.
Oh, geez.
Oh, I know.
This is Humble and Fred.
We've got more fun and hilarity coming up on The Best of Humble and Fred. I'm Full of Pong. Thank you kindly for listening to The Best of Humble and Fred Friday. This is The Best of Humble and Fred on air, online. More from The Best of Humble and Fred week. That's still coming. Now, back to the second hour of The Best of Humble and Fred, powered by The Chambers Plan, FYI Music News, Gig Sky, The Retirement Sherpa, Spearhead Brewing Company, Cannabis Career Network, and Strain Print.
You know, I'm not much of a football fan, and but I grew up in a household that worshipped the CFL. My mom and dad, it was cute because my dad was a Riders fan, grown up in Saskatchewan. My mother loved the Blue Bombers because she grew up in Winnipeg. And so I always found the Grey Cup kind of a cool thing, connecting me with being a kid on the prairies. And this morning you said to me, hey, the Stampeders won the Grey Cup. And I was like, what? The Grey Cup was yesterday? Well, I was binge-watching Adam Sandler and New Girl episodes. High as a monkey.
And, you know, that's the...
What?
That's the disturbing part of it. Because even I just checked in a couple of times. It used to be, even if you were casual or not even a constant CFL listener, you still sort of watch the Grey Cup. It was it was just a national pride thing, but more and more we're getting away from that because there's the last couple of generations, I'd say, have just moved right away from that league. And here in Southern Ontario, like, it's just nothing. I shouldn't say Southern Ontario. Hamilton's a bit different than what Toronto is, but it's just such a non-thing here now. It's too bad, because it is our one national.
Exactly, and it's always a great game. I have made a point to watch it for years, because it's usually the Grey Cup and the Super Bowl will be the first football game I'll sit for the entire thing. And I would have watched it, you know, because I had Rachel here all weekend, and she went home in the afternoon, and I could have easily sat in front. I mean, I should have watched it last night, because I'm sure I would have enjoyed it. I can tell you this. So I'm surprised that the game was on. I have no idea who the Stampeders beat. I know I could find it on, is it one of nine teams?
Ottawa Red Blacks.
Wow. Huh.
Which is a story in itself. I think they've been around for 5 years and been in three Grey Cups.
Right.
Who do you think you are? The Vegas Golden Knights? But anyway. You know what the problem is with the CFL from my perspective? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of sports nowadays is about bigger than life personalities. LeBron James.
Yes.
I mean, here in Toronto, Austin Matthews. Or in football, you know, it's Tom Brady. And the CFL, as much as they try, they cannot create characters that are embraced across the across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they try and they try and they try. And, you know, to TSN's benefit, they'll sit there and they'll do these profiles on these players. And I can't help but be a bit cynical going, well, that's cute. You just spent 10 minutes on this guy, but nobody really knows who he is.
Mm-hmm.
So what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Are you trying to create this personality, or do you think he is, yet nobody really cares? And they're just caught. They need big personality in that league, but they can't afford it.
You know, I know this is going to date me, but, you know, when pinball was still playing and... You know, they had this quarterback in Montreal for a while. They're a great personality.
Anthony Calvillo.
Whatever. And, you know, this is 15 and 20 years. But you sort of they still had personalities. Mm-hmm. That you would go, oh, I wonder how they're doing.
Mm-hmm. When the Toronto Maple Leafs sign John Tavares and draft Austin Matthews and have a kid like Mitch Marner and then Jose Bautista and on and on, and then of course and now with the Raptors and their profile people, it's pretty hard for the Argonauts to get any attention.
Oh, yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. You know, even the soccer team, I mean, as much as I think that's a bit of a farce, too. And I don't think anybody really cares about it in the city either when it comes down to it, because they didn't make the playoffs this year, and you never heard anything about them.
For
it's,
sure.
It's hard for sports on that level, just below pro, which
no,
they
just below, just below major pro.
Yes. To compete with the big people.
The thing, though, is when the soccer team, those guys.
In Toronto FC.
TFC. Mm-hmm. When TFC did make the playoffs, when the Argonauts are in the Grey Cup, it makes a difference because that's enough to get Torontonians.
Yeah, although the Argonauts
going.
Won it last year and it was.
But still, I would have watched it last
no,
year.
No, I know, because they were in it. But they're just caught. They're just sort of caught in the middle. And, you know, it's different. I mean, if you're in Winnipeg, it's, you know, you've just got two teams. Or you're in Saskatchewan, it's the only team in town, or the
in
only
Saskatchewan,
team in town.
It's hard to describe to people who haven't lived there what the Rough Riders mm-hmm. mean to that whole province. Speaking of something that was supposed to be fantastic and wasn't all that, is the big match, the match they call it. Tiger versus Phil, pay-per-view. I'll do this in no particular order. There were lots of problems apparently in the States with Comcast and do you know anything about what I'm talking about, Sean? Where they basically, people couldn't get it. They were having trouble. They had to refund a bunch of, you know, money and, mm-hmm. and some people's, pay-per-view started and then it stopped. So I don't know anything about that except what I just said. I know there were some problems with the actual broadcast.
Yes, there was. Because I watched it from beginning to end. From 2 until the excruciating end at whatever time that was. And at the beginning, like the first hour, the sound was just screwed. All you could hear was Phil and Tiger talking.
You couldn't hear their caddies.
Whenever they went to panel and all that stuff.
Really?
Nothing.
What, you mean you couldn't hear the panel?
No. Between 2 and 3.
Well, I was watching it, and I
yeah. Well,
I heard the panel.
Well, on... I was on
Rogers. Okay.
Rogers in, and I was in Cambridge. I had no intention of watching it, but I went to visit my in-laws, and that's all they were talking about. But the concept of pay-per-view was way beyond them. So I said, listen, I'll buy it for us. So we'll watch
it. $24.90, yeah.
Gave me something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you know, everybody had, $24.95. But the thing is, you go to a movie. For a two-hour movie, two people's going to cost you almost that.
Wait, yeah? Almost? At least that.
Over. Yeah.
Unless you claim senior. Like
that's what I do, yeah. Listen, that's legendary now. I go in as a senior and start to hunch myself over. Anyway.
No, there were audio problems in the first hour through Rogers, but just before the match started, everything was fine for me.
So I will tell you, for me, first of all, the golf was mediocre. They both didn't play very well.
That's crazy.
They tried to set the golf course up so that they both would make lots of birdies. I won't go into how I know that. I can just tell you the yardages they were playing from were not tour yardages. What I mean is, like, they don't play a lot of par fours on the PGA Tour that are under 400 yards. It doesn't matter. So I loved it. I enjoyed it. I thought the ending was Mickey Mouse, and I thought they basically Pat Perez, who I'm not a huge fan of, but he made a great point. He was one of the guys doing some commentary. There was no reason they started it at noon mm-hmm. in Las Vegas. That was ridiculous. They should have started it at 9 in the morning or 10 in the morning so that they could have finished the golf by playing holes. Because the way it ended, I mean, I know Phil won, and good for him, but it was so cheesy. Those three holes they played in the dark, the makeshift par three, just kind of wrecked it. And, you know, for a guy to win $9 million, he should have had to actually play a full hole. So, I don't know, whoever organized it, they knew it was going to get dark in Las Vegas at 5 p.m. because that's what it does this time of year.
These words come out of my mouth. I said, you know, Howard's big into conspiracies. Do you think on any level they played towards a hopeful, spectacular ending? Because it was some of the shots they were missing was just like, Some of those putts, it was
no.
Like,
I mean, conspiracies. Those guys don't miss those putts. I mean, the one that Tiger missed on the second hole was just like, what? When it lipped out from 4 feet, just it would never do that. But that's golf. Golf is.
No! I understand that, but it just seemed to me, especially. And then we had talked last week about match play. I was surprised because theoretically that could have been over very early.
Could have been over on the 12th, 13th, 14th hole. Mm-hmm. And there were bets, by the way. There were huge money bets laid that it would be tied after 9. There was a 5,000-to-1 bet that it would be finished on 13. Whether they plan to make sure or they... But here's the thing. You get two of the best players of all time playing each other. It's hard for... No one's going to win 6 and 5. It was always going to be a one-up. Maybe
but there was that chance.
Always is that chance. One of them could get hot. I thought Phil Mickelson played better than Tiger.
But you know, it's no different than a pay-per-view fight where it could end in the first round.
Absolutely.
You pay your money, you take your chances, right?
So now you know, you mentioned the Las Vegas Golden Knights, the NHL team. When they asked Tiger about his shoes, and Tiger said, well, I'm in Las Vegas, and he mentioned the Golden Knights. That shows you how aware of sports the guy is.
Well, did it not even have a Golden Knights emblem on it?
I think it might have.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of a cool nod to the NHL, which came, when he said that, I was like, what? Is Tiger talking about the NHL? For me, as a golf fan, it was pretty cool, because I love Tiger so much. But even with Phil, it was cool for me hearing them talk over the shots. I don't know if that was interesting to other people, but for me it was.
Well, I think for a casual fan, where it suffered, other golf telecasts, when they're going to the next hole, you're seeing other guys golf.
Yeah, of course.
The lulls between the holes, for me, you know, Charles Barkley, he was somewhat entertaining.
Yeah, not as entertaining as those guys were making him out to be, though.
No, I know, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like, at least it sort of filled the gap.
And if you're a sports fan, and you know, Charles Barkley's, you know, he's a pretty cool sports figure. There's this guy, I think it's Nylander, a pitcher.
Yeah.
Was that the one that was tweeting
that guy
back?
For Houston, yeah.
But they were...
Vlander.
So it was kind of cool that a guy who's a basketball star was getting, you know, sort of chirped by a current pitcher in the...
It was.
I like that kind of stuff. It's sort of neat, that sort of community of sports athletes and sports players. Why do I have to put sports in front of that? But you know what I mean? I like that. Sort of that banter was kind of cool. I liked Samuel L. Jackson. That was kind of cool hearing him on the broadcast.
Those little commercials they did for Capital One.
Very cute.
Yes.
Chuck and Sam.
But what's your takeaway?
I wish they had done it years ago when Tiger Woods really couldn't stand Phil Mickelson and vice versa.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because now they're in the... They really have become Jack and Arnie. They're this generation's, you know, Jack, the best player of all time, Arnold, the people's sort of guy, and I couldn't... I thought Phil Mickelson was entertaining.
Well, Nicholson sort of carried the show because...
Tiger's not a big talker.
After the turn or nine or whatever you called it, Tiger didn't want to talk a lot.
No, because he wanted to win.
And Phil sort of maintained that end of the show.
This is Humble and Fred.
There's more to The Best of Humble and Fred this week. I'm Philip Hong on The Best of Humble and Fred, on air and online. First, a couple of very, very important announcements.
But first, let's talk about our good friends at Gig Sky. Rudra, I'll tell you this, Rudra character's too much. Because I let ex-wife Randy use my hotspot. Yeah, I did. For old time's sake. She just was down in Florida taking her mother to, Boca, as you do.
Boca.
And I gave her the hotspot for safety. I'll tell you what, that's what it is. Sometimes just having that with you makes you feel more secure because you go Wi-Fi anywhere, man.
Hey, stay connected to the internet with cellular data-only plans in over 190 countries and regions around the world. Add an eSIM cellular data plan in minutes on your iPhone XS, iPhone XS Max, and iPhone XR. Use the dual SIM iPhone cellular data-only setting with GigSky to stay connected in all those countries and regions, okay? Now, GigSky has been a trusted global data provider for Apple since 2015. Choose the GigSky cellular data only plan that's right for you. No strings attached. Go to GigSky.com and find out what is best for you. It's very easy to be connected. Hey, use cannabis better with the free Strain Print companion app that will help you learn how much more rewarding and beneficial your experience with cannabis can be. The app can be easily downloaded for free on the Apple or Google Play Store. Yes. Want to learn more? Visit strainprint.ca or follow Strainprint on Twitter or Instagram. They're also on Facebook. If you or someone that believes in cannabis needs, you know, legitimate therapy, download Strain Print today. Strainprint.ca and find out how to get the app through the Google Play Store or Apple.
This is Humble and Fred.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's going on with you? Look at you.
Have you thought about buying me anything for Christmas?
Every day.
You do?
Yep.
I just saw something here on the internet. My wife always tells me I slouch a bit when I stand. And it's this harness that you wear under your shirt. And it takes away your slouch.
Huh. Ordered.
What do you mean? You bought...
Ordered it.
You did?
I did.
For who, me?
Sure.
Merry Christmas.
Merry... You ruined your surprise.
From the little style shop?
I don't know where I ordered it from.
No, are you serious?
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, I saw it online.
Why do you think you slouch?
Yeah. Well, I ordered it because I've been having a lot of trouble with my shoulders, my back, and, you know, my golf back. So I thought, you know, maybe it would be good for me to wear it during the show. Remember we were talking about this? We were having this discussion about how when you put your shoulders back, you look like an idiot. Not you, but people, right?
Right.
Like when I stand up straight in the posture you're supposed to stand in.
Yes.
I think I look, well, I think it looks ridiculous.
Whenever my problem is whenever I try something on, I get this posture that really annoys Delise. It's like, well, stand up straight. Why are you slouching?
Right.
It's just like I put something new on, and I think that posture makes it look. I don't know what it is, and then she'll say, "Put your shoulders back." So that's. I wouldn't mind getting one of those.
I'm just trying to find. It's been on order for a couple of weeks.
Canada Post. Good luck.
And maybe that's why.
Well, though, they ended the strike last night, the Senate.
Passed the back to work
bill. But
your
song could be head and shoulders, knees and toes.
Knees and toes, knees and toes, head and shoulders, knees and toes.
Everything hurts.
They all bother me.
Sciatica.
You know, it's funny because I've told you that. One of the things that, you know, I could go from my toes to my nose and everything in between. I could find you a spot that possibly needs surgery. I've got the arthritic toe. My left knee meniscus has been bugging me all fall. Both sides of my back are on fire. Both elbows and both shoulders and the left side of my neck. Every day.
You knees know, and toes.
Meanwhile, I think I produce natural glycosamine or whatever.
Glycosamine?
Whatever you call
glucosamine?
It. Glucosamine? Glucosamine. Is that it? Glucosamine?
Yeah, like the supplement that you eat, right?
Because me, here I am at 62. I don't have one pain. I'm fluid as I don't know what. Everything luck.
Well, I'm okay. Jealous
look
of you, man.
Yeah, no, I know. Look, I'm moving my arms. Look. Yeah. Nothing hurt. Nothing. Nothing.
Well,
once that thing flew out of the end of my penis, that was it.
That was the last one.
That was it.
Knees and terp.
That was the last thing I had.
That was the last thing I had.
And I say this with all due respect, but you know, I hit a lot of golf balls.
Well, stop.
And the occasional time that you hit a golf ball, it's like a kitten waving at a yarn ball.
Well, yeah. I think you might stop. Might think about stopping.
Yeah, but it gives me so much pleasure.
Oh, it sounds like it.
It does.
So like you're willing to live with the pain.
Absolutely, I am. Absolutely. Wow. I love doing it so much. I love the whole... I love exploring it. I know you think this is crazy, but, you know, on any given moment, last night, for instance, I was looking at some videos on Instagram of golf instructors I follow, and I was like, I saved a couple so I could try it out today. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, it's taken its toll, my friend. It's taken its toll between snowboarding and riding unicycles and all that stuff. It's taken its toll.
Well, there's... I think it's one of those situations then, if you choose to put that torque on your body or whatever you want to call it, you might not want to complain then. So if you choose to do that to your body.
Yeah, I agree.
But if you listen back to the last 5 minutes, I wasn't complaining.
No, I know. I brought it up.
You're doing a bit.
Please interp.
No, actually, you did bring it up, but in a sideways.
So, because you brought up that we're getting the harness. It doesn't matter.
See, that harness, when I had boobs, would have been great, too, because it could have kept them in check.
Those things were on. Those things were everywhere.
They used to hit me in the forehead.
Yeah. When he leaned over, he looked like, you know, some of those, you know, African women you used to see with, like, the torpedo titties.
Oh, sure.
That's what he had.
I was looking for something to binge. And you're always looking for something new, but I reached back, and I've been watching Mad Men.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
I had never watched Mad Men.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Two observations. First, you were talking about the boobs of the...
of yesteryear.
Was it? Did you say African women?
Well, yeah, you know,
Watch what you're saying.
Well, from the continent of Africa.
Well, traditional folks who
traditional
don't wear shirts.
African certain dress. Things you're not supposed to mention or notice. You know that.
I noticed that there's a continent called Africa.
Anyway, what I noticed in Mad Men was the old missile cone boobies from the old brassieres, right?
Yes.
What were they thinking back then? Those were attractive. They were like pyramids off your chest. Secondly, you know what's turning me off that show? Mm-hmm. The cigarettes. I can't.
Yeah, they smoke in every. They smoke and drink in every scene.
But the cigarettes, it's like, oh, come on. I mean, it's not even in my rec room, but it makes me feel nauseous.
Sure.
Watching these people light up every second. Every second, everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to clear everyone's throat. Well, you know, the other thing is, too, and the fact that every... you know, around 10 o'clock in the morning, it was just nothing for those guys to offer each other big tumblers of scotch.
Yeah. Right. And now that's not... That's looked upon quite negatively.
Mm-hmm.
To be, you know, to be drinking... Although I gotta think the big CEOs in huge companies still have their little bar in there.
Yeah, but not at 10 o'clock in the morning.
No. Well, who knows? I don't know what time they drink. Do you? Could be the odd guy that likes a 10 o'clock.
Could be the odd guy. Yes. You know what? You don't know. You don't know. My sense is they don't drink at 10 o'clock in the morning anymore.
And you're very sensible. That's true. That's true.
I used to think... Mad Men was one of those shows where, you know, I think I saw a couple seasons of it. Mm-hmm. And then it went away. And I, again, that's one of the... there's got to be a name for that, where you binge watch or you watch something, and then when the series goes away and comes back, you forget about it. But that's what happens to me.
How old is that series?
Well, quite a bit.
2007 was the first season.
When did it end?
2015.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding. It was around that long?
Yeah.
My goodness.
It wasn't on demand at first.
I do remember at some point, season 3 or 4, where it started to get a little bit weird. Because when it was in the office and we were talking about advertising, I found it fascinating.
Was it a network show?
Yeah, AMC Networks.
I was going to say AMC.
Oh, okay.
Same with Breaking Bad.
But not a traditional.
You know, it was one of the last, like Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Sons of Anarchy, sort of those shows that were on traditional networks, even though AMC and those were more of the
cable variety.
Cable variety, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the cigarettes, and it's funny. Although, what's his head? Don Draper, is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
He likes his Canadian club, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, CC.
Uh-huh.
And have you started getting into Don Draper's wife a little bit? What's her name?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Yeah.
January Jones.
January Jones.
I don't know if it's going to hold me, but we'll see. So far, it's interesting. As I say, the cigarettes, every time they light up a cigarette, I get, it's almost like, okay, enough. Like, I get the point. People smoked back then, but...
but, you know, my mom and dad and all my mom and dad's friends, your mom and dad and all their friends, that's how they all smoked.
No,
they smoked everywhere all the time.
My mom and dad would have a hockey party when I was a kid, and I remember going down in the rec room, and there'd be 25 adults all smoking in one small room.
Fred, man, you know, your parents and you moved away from your... what would you call the home?
In my childhood.
Your childhood home. Mm-hmm. Well, my childhood home still existed until I was in my mid-40s, because my mom and dad, my dad was still alive in that house. Mm-hmm. When we sold that house, you know, before the big Saskatchewan boom.
The potash boom.
Before the big boom where, you know, we'd had the same house since 1959 or 60 or something, and then we sold it. My dad bought it for $25 and we sold it for $90.
And then like 2 years later, it was worth $450. You know, the Glassman. You know how we do. But when we sold that house, the walls were just covered with 40 years of... The place reeked of cigarettes.
And you know what the problem is? That nicotine's.
Oh, yeah.
Like on a humid day, that may even seep through.
Like rub off.
Yeah.
It was in the furniture. You know, it was in... You know, I have a piece of their furniture. It's an old stereo. Mm-hmm. I can open it up and still... It still smells like the house on Henry Street.
Yeah.
Anyway, welcome to the show. Our number is 1-833-437-8465.
While we're on that thing about CEOs or people and drinking during work and, you know, celebrating little achievements along the way. Because that was the... Dawn Draper comes home from work one day and she goes, "Oh, you've been at it. Is that because of a good day or a bad day?" like come home reeking of booze. Yeah. I mean, it's just not done.
Not only come home reeking of booze, having just driven.
Yeah.
No, hammers. I had this conversation with Rachel. We were talking about drinking and getting high. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, Fred mentioned that something about in the 60s, you could drink and drive a car and you get a ticket.
Right. That was all.
That was all you got. You got a ticket. And it wasn't until well into my teenage years, after I got my license, that people started to get 30-day suspensions for their license.
Right.
You're listening to Humble and Fred Radio.
This edition of the Best of Humble and Fred is powered by FYI Music News, the Retirement Sherpa, the Chambers Plan, Gig Sky, Spearhead Brewing Company, Strain Print, and Cannabis Career Network.